This sermon was preached at Grace Baptist Church Eldoret by Pastor Naftali Ogalo. Matthew chapter 5, I want to read the first 16 verses, and then today we are going to look at, or I'll preach from, verses 14 to 16. I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 16. I read from New King James Version, and the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We had prayed. I want us to concentrate now our attention on those last few verses. This, which has been called the Sermon on the Mount, because it was delivered on the mountain. Remember the Lord Jesus, kama alikuwa na anakaa upande wa mlima kama huko, and then everyone else was seated backwards with the disciples much closer to him. Then he addressed them. But this sermon has so many unusual things, so many things that come to us as a surprise. Remember, we went through the verses, especially verses 3 all the way to 10, and every what we call beatitude, every blessedness or every blessing, a picture is painted of people who should be admired, people who should be of great demand in the world. In other words, the world would say, let everyone live like here described. However, we found out that is not the case. Because verse 10 ended, tukielezwa ya kwamba, you are blessed if you are persecuted. And think the disciples would have said, what? That doesn't sound right. Why should someone be persecuted, and especially those who were righteous, those who were seeking the good, both of God and of others? Sababu gani? Why should they be persecuted? And that question would have come strongly, and remember, this is a revision. This is, it would come so strongly that the disciples, the Lord Jesus knew them, could have said, if that is the price we pay, then I think I'm in the wrong place. Then verse 11 says, blessed are you, my disciples, when they revile and persecute you. So you're not in the wrong camp. And I'm talking of what I know the Lord Jesus is telling them. You are blessed if you are persecuted. Rejoice and be glad. Strange things in the Sermon on the Mount. So when they are persecuted, they should not give up. They should actually know they are blessed. The Lord is happy with them. And then last week we saw something even strange, a staggering statement, when the Lord Jesus actually tells them, you, my disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And at the end of the sermon, I brought to you some four things to carry, to take home with you. Don't know how often you take them home. Please, we want to just encourage you, and I'm encouraging you from the pulpit. Please write notes. Honestly, you can hear so much, but by the time you move out, they begin or they have evaporated. Please write notes. Actually, that's why we are trying to give you just a few. I hope you're going to move in. We are encouraging you to just jot a few of these things down, the verses that appear there also. Ukifika nyumbani, you can look at them again. But now, at the end of the sermon, there were a few things that I urged us to remember. One, we saw that this world is tasteless. That's what the Bible says. The Lord Jesus taught us. It is tasteless and it is rotting away. Hata sio pole pole, haraka. It's rotting away quickly. For the Lord Jesus Christ to tell his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, he is implying in a very strong way, the earth is tasteless. The earth is like that food, cooked well, yes, as it were, but now, haina ladha. And it is the Christian who gives this world its taste. Did you ever think about yourself in that way? You give taste to this world. If you're a Christian, that is. If you're a believer, if you're saved, you give taste. But also, you help to preserve this world. You help to preserve this world. In other words, the world is rotting away. Please let us think, sorry, that's not the preaching, this is revision, but let us think, those moments where you were this past week, if you were not there, how would things have been? If you're a believer and you are in a group of people, did you make a difference? That's what the Lord is saying. We should make a difference. We should preserve the situation. Because if you are not there, the language would have been horrible. Anger would have exhilarated. Bitterness. Gossip. Did you make a difference? The Lord expected you to make a difference. That is the saltiness that is expected of us. So anyway, that we are salt, therefore we give taste to the world and we help it not to rot. Otherwise it is rotting very fast. In the second place, we need to hurry. In the second place, I brought out to you that as Christians, Christ made us salt for a purpose. We are made salt for a purpose. You may be only one in that classroom, in that lecture hall, only one. And you may feel your weakness, but the Lord placed you there for a purpose, to bring a difference. In that marketplace, among the other business people or women or whoever they are, you are there for a purpose. And so we can multiply, bring taste, and preserve. And then in the third place, we saw that place, you are either different or you're not saved. Either you're different, if you're a believer, you're different, or settle it, honestly, you're not saved. You cannot be a Christian, be in a situation, and there is no difference you make. Then the words of the Lord Jesus would make no sense. Salt, where there is genuine salt, it will be felt. Put it on your tongue, you will feel it. Put a little bit of it on your food, you will feel it. There'll be the taste. Use it to preserve meat, it will last long. If you don't preserve it, very soon the stench will be there, and then doo-doos will be there. And so, friends, you're either different or you're not saved. Now, that may sound strong, but honestly, that is what the Lord Jesus means here. And then finally, if you are to retain your saltiness, then I used three R's: receive, return, and remain. It is God's word which, when we receive, saves us. Then we so often find ourselves wandering, but we need to return to the word. And when we do, oh my friends, we better remain there. If we do that, just my three R's, our saltiness will be maintained. Well, so the idea that we are salt should have brought some challenges to us along this past week. And I feel humbled because I'm not always salt wherever I have been this past week. But I should have been. Now, my aim is to encourage us. Of course, it's possible to use such a passage and to beat down everyone, and we all walk out mourning the situation that we have not been what God wants us to be. But that will not encourage us to go out there and make our saltiness be felt. So the Lord says we are salt if we are saved. May the Lord help us to be. And where we have failed this past week, may the Lord deal graciously with us and forgive us. But friends, the Lord Jesus is not finished with us. The Lord Jesus is not finished with us. If being salt is a challenge enough, then the Lord Jesus comes up with yet another staggering statement. And the Lord Jesus tells us today, there in verse 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And he goes on. And that is a staggering statement. Nini ni nuru ya ulimwengu. I want us just to unpack it kidogo. We don't have all the time, but surely I want to give us a few things about these verses 14 to 16 to help us in our Christian lives, and those who are not Christians, those who are not saved, that's how we use the word Christian here. Please, I hope this will challenge you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who makes people
who saves people and makes them light. Now we want to see that. So the first thing I want us to see is that this is a statement of fact. A statement of fact. The Lord Jesus just gives it. The Lord Jesus tells us there in verse 14, you are the light of the world. Now, of course, there is what this does not mean, and there is what it means. So what does it not mean? When the Lord Jesus says, nyinyi ndio nuru ya ulimwengu, he is not saying, you as believers, you generate light in yourself. That now you are saved, then you somehow, there is ability you have to generate life in yourself. No, that cannot be, because in this very passage, Matthew chapter 4 verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ described the people of Zebulun and the people of Naphtali as people who live in utter darkness. By nature, no one can generate this light. Verse 16, people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Where did that light come from? It is the Lord Jesus Christ coming in. And so, this light is not original or does not originate or get generated from an individual. No. Humans are in darkness. Darkness of sin. Darkness of ruin. Such darkness that the things they do are filthy. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he tells them there in verse 8, for you were once darkness. Not just that you are in darkness, you yourself, before you got saved, you were once darkness. And as such, the things that people who are in darkness do are horrible. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, in darkness. Those who have not come to the experience of salvation, the Bible describes them as people who are in darkness. They themselves are darkness. The activities they are involved in before God, they may appear good, but the Lord says they are unfruitful. That is where the Lord finds a people who then, when he walks in, then he calls them light. So the light is not original with them. So we have seen this light is not original. They don't generate it themselves. But positively, those who are called light actually are those who reflect that light from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he declared in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is where we get our light as believers. The Lord Jesus, when we follow him, when he goes us to follow him, then, friends, his light then dawns on us, we get life, and then we reflect that light. While still in John, you may choose just to turn back to John chapter 1, verse 4, where we are told, in him, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. There we have it again. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So, there are just two spheres. One darkness, the other light. We all by nature are in darkness and darkness. And for us to be on this side, where then we reflect that, is actually the work of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So that, and that is well proved, when we look at the book of Colossians, chapter 1, we see it set before us, Colossians 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So that is the work of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. When that happens, my friends, then we begin to reflect the Savior's character. We begin to reflect those qualities that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage I read, Paul writing to the Philippians chapter 5, and we read a number of verses, but actually verse 9, we are told, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. It's a big transformation, moving from darkness to life, and then our own life now oozes out. Really, in one sense, we are like a sponge, and having been saved, we are soaked with the light. That's quite a good illustration, but it's like when we come to this side, this other side, or wherever we are, then we ooze out. You press us, what should come out of us? Light. Well, water, but in this case, light. We have so bathed ourselves with the light, which is Christ, so that wherever we are actually shining. And you know, what I have said is this. It is a statement of fact. The Lord Jesus says, if you are a believer, you are light. You don't say, well, being light is very demanding. I'll just be a Christian, but no, I'm not going to be light. Gavana, I should say it again. Kama nivyo, wewe sio mkristo. Kwa sababu mkristo lazima awe ni nuru ya ulimwengu. So it's a statement of fact from none other than the Lord himself. But then in the second place, not only do we get a statement of fact from verse 14, the first part, but then the Lord gives an illustration. He uses an example of a city. And not just any city, but a city on a hill. There, verse 14, you are the light of the world, and then he brings in an illustration. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. In fact, there are two illustrations. We are going to see the next illustration in verse 15. But verse 14 gives us the first one. Illustration, children, illustration is a big word, simply meaning example. So the Lord Jesus is a good teacher. He's a good preacher. As he preaches, then he brings an example. Analeta mfano, na anasema, kile ambacho nimekisema ni hivi. Unaona hii? Ah, yes. That's the Lord Jesus, a good teacher. And so he brings in an example for us to see and understand. 14b, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. What do we make of that? Now, of course, when the Lord Jesus was speaking to these people, na tukumbuke tafadhali the context of who was he speaking to? And I like verse 25 because it tells us the wider crowd. They're not just nobodies. They are people from specific places. Chapter 4, verse 25. And a great multitude followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, simply meaning 10 cities, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and beyond Jordan. Now all those people were gathered. It was a large multitude. They were listening to the Lord Jesus. And so he uses this example of a hill built on a city built on a hill. Not very many. Now we don't know where the Decapolis or the 10 cities were built, but we know one. We know that the city of Jerusalem was built on a hill. All who were passing by would notice, even from afar, where Jerusalem is. And as they were walking, even as they were approaching Jerusalem, they would tell their children, "Do you see that far, far place on the hill? Yes, that's where we are going." So Jerusalem was set up on a hill. So the multitude that he was speaking to, wakati alitumia mfano, a city on a hill, surely the mind would run to Jerusalem. Most of them, most of these people would have lived in rural areas. And if that is the case, or since that is the case, these rural people were used to darkness. Of course, in their houses, they would have lamps, but immediately ukitoka tu kwa nje ya nyumba, it's all dark, unless you see the neighbor's house open, na a little light shining from the house. But generally, all around the village, it was dark. So, the city built on a hill that cannot be hidden, in their mind surely will be Jerusalem. Such a city as Jerusalem, for these people the Lord Jesus is addressing, they would know in the night, do you see where there is light? A little spotted light. Now, of course, hawakuwa electricity kama sisi, but there were lamps that they don't think they were too primitive. Of course, we call those times primitive, but walikuwa na njia ya kuwasha mataa everywhere, so that a city was lit. It could be known, it could be seen from afar. Jerusalem was central for these people. Central, obviously, in the night they could see the light. In the day, still they could see the brightness, you know, the houses pitched on that particular hill. But Jerusalem was important for these people, also for other reasons. Remember, they would visit Jerusalem for worship. They would visit Jerusalem for sacrifices and also for feasts. You know, even for trade. That was the center of trade. It was, if you like, the capital city. So a lot of movement was to and towards Jerusalem. It could not be hidden. But you see, the Lord Jesus uses this phrase here when he says that you are the light of the world. The Lord Jesus himself, as we have seen in John chapter 8, said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, then his life will ooze out light of life. You know, so this statement comes to these people in a powerful way. It's a staggering statement and illustration equally. Jerusalem is in their mind. The light that it gave in the night, the centrality, the importance that people therefore associated with Jerusalem, and they would always go there. In other words, the point we are making, my friends, is this. Jerusalem could not be hidden. It could not be hidden. People would have to have dealings with Jerusalem. People would admire it, those who are not living there for a long time. Many of us, and I'm sure some of you here, many of us, the place to be was Nairobi. A number of us grew in the village. And so maybe secondary school or college studies moved us to Nairobi. And we all looked forward to going to Nairobi the first time. Of course, you go to Nairobi, and even crossing the road becomes a problem, and you say, I'd rather be in Eldoret, you know, things like that. But Nairobi was the thing in our minds, just to reach there. If we went there with our school, or, you know, for sports or whatever, it's something to write about later. As a believer, we are like that city. Like Jerusalem, yes, but we are like that city. On a hill. It cannot be hidden. There is something that you as a Christian can offer, should offer. You cannot be hidden. So that is at least partly the reason why that illustration is used. But then, it's not only that it's like a city set on a hill. He uses another illustration. He moves away from giving the illustration of a city, because not all of them came from the city, and maybe would not have reached the city. But then he descends to the village. He descends right to the house. And then he tells us in verse 15, and now, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So the Lord Jesus, again, the great teacher, with his examples, his illustration, brings this, and he uses a simple illustration in every home. Every home. So move away from the city where you may have the mandago light, you know, so like what I think in some of the few estates, and then also in every estate, you know, in different counties, there are these very bright lights that are there. In a sense, you almost don't need to have that little one in your house. If you didn't pay electricity or you don't get paraffin, you could almost depend on that one or in the market center. And so he uses that. There are those who the city is far from, but they have a house. They've got that little lamp. And he says, listen, the purpose of lighting a lamp is never, even in that little one-room house, you don't light that lamp only to then get a basket or something to cover that light. It's like, no, that doesn't happen. So the illustration he uses definitely will make everyone wake up and say, yeah, who can do that? You don't expect that to happen. If that happens, something is wrong. Something is wrong. And my friends, if something is wrong, when light is lit on a little wick, that little kiroboto, you call it? Whatever the name we call it. Ngile, for some of us. And it is so helpful in a house, but you never then get a kabakuli or something else to cover it. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. And he says, honestly, this is the point he's driving home. Even so, a Christian who is now light, surely, in the Lord, must not hide his light. That's the point. The Christian may be as weak as that little Yangile, but you don't then go and cover it. That's terrible. That little light is so necessary for that little heart. It will give light. You won't compare it with the Mandago lights or the Sonko light or... No. But where it is, you know what will happen? Darkness will disappear. Darkness will disappear. That's why it would be horrible to think of covering that little light. Let's just ask this before we finish this point. Why would someone be tempted to cover their light? Or come immediately to our point. Why would one who claims to be a believer hide their faith? Hide ndio watu wasijue ya kwamba yeye ni Mkristo. Why? Just a few things would come to mind. Shame. The person may be ashamed to let people know that they're a Christian. Either they're living in some unconfessed sin, and therefore, if they tell a colleague, oh, you know, by the way, actually I'm a Christian, it's like, are you saying now you're a Christian with all that you have gone or done already? That shame may make a person not speak. You'd be like that person in that village, in that little hut, lighting their lamp and then covering it. You see how horrible that would be. So shame, maybe because of unconfessed sin. What about fear? I don't know if I tell them I am saved, I don't know what would happen. In fact, they may not give me this job. They may sack me. Okay, they may tease me. They may make life hard for me. So I fear. And if that could be your reason for covering your light, think, the Lord Jesus has said in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. And if the disciples felt, if that is the case, I am not going to speak anywhere, then the Lord Jesus tells them in verse 11, blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted for all manner of reasons, falsely. So even fear should not cause us to cover our light, our faith. Maybe it's lack of assurance. Okay, you know, I'm a believer, but if I speak of my faith, I don't know whether I'll stand. I don't know whether I'll continue to be a believer. There are a lot of things sijaelewa in my Christian faith. And so, no, I'm not sure. Friends, I don't know whether I'm putting my finger on something that could be true of you. Shame, fear, lack of assurance. Remember, last Sunday and the previous Sunday, I mentioned that how to grow in assurance is to go through persecution. It's to go through suffering. Oh, if I speak of my faith, they may persecute me. you are therefore missing the very means of your growing in assurance. Now don't ask, God, it's long since I suffered. I'm just dying to get someone to frustrate me. We don't talk like that. That would be crazy. But when we are faithful before the Lord, they will persecute us. And when we are persecuted, we are made to grow strong. Like that tree, when the wind is... I believe the trees just outside the church here, their roots have gone down very, very much. Because, my friends, there are times when the wind in this area, this valley, is so much. And what we see in the leaves, they are moving back and forth, back and forth. But the roots go down when the winds of trial are blowing. That's what some of us here are missing, the winds of trial. Then we would grow strong. Then we would let our light shine and not cover it. Well, so the Lord Jesus has given a statement of fact, a very staggering statement. Then he has given these two illustrations. A city on a hill, think of Jerusalem. But also that little humble home with just a little wicky lamp. And then, really, number four is, if that's the case, so be what you really are. That's number four. And if you think I cooked it up, no. Verse 16 concludes me to make that. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. He's made a statement in verse 14. He's given two illustrations in 14 and 15. And now he tells you, you better live as light. Demonstrate your life. Let it shine, in other words. Where will it shine? Not covered in some closet. Not under a basket. No, but before the world. And which world? Of course, it's the world of sinners, as we are seeing all along. Let the world see your light. And my friends, our God has two purposes. When the Lord Jesus tells us, come on, let your light shine, release it, let it be. For what it was meant, let it be. There are two things which will happen. One, they will see your good works. They will see your good works. That won't be hidden. They will see it. And you let your light shine. Because really, remember what we found in Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 8, 9, and 10, and 11. In this package of now having been moved from darkness to light, it's all to do with righteousness, goodness, finding the will of the Lord and doing it and delighting in it. And my friends, when we do that, the world will see. The world will see. It is God's aim that when they see, if you turn with me now to 1 Peter, you see, we can't be hidden as believers, but when we live our lives, then this will happen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Beloved, verse 11, for context. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Verse 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And this passage, verse 12 of 1 Peter 2, and there in verse 16, we have the same truth. So the Lord's purpose for us to make our light shine for all to see, two things. They may see your good works, they may glorify your Father in heaven. Now that's the Lord's design. Whether it happens or it fails to happen, don't worry. But that's what the Lord designed that should happen. Friends, I would run away, left to myself, because I've not been salt, or my saltiness has not been felt everywhere. Equally, I've not been light, I've not reflected that which is expected of me. But this is God's word, and I want us, as we finish, let me just give you a few things that we carry home with us by way of application. One, a Christian is different from the world as night is from day. Really, this is what we come out with. If the Lord in the first place had said, you are the light of the world, then the Lord is saying, you Christian, you are light, the world is darkness. Simple. A Christian is as different from the world as light, night is from day. And oh, my friends, I find that piercing me to the heart. It's because I know where my own life has been more of darkness than light. And yet the Lord is saying, you are light. The world in which you are in is dark or darkness. Live, therefore, as light. And I realize I'm not always that way. But that's what a Christian is. Different, different. Does that describe you? Do you, with all humility, not walk with a shoulder high saying, yeah, Pastor, you've got it. I'm light. In fact, my neighbor is utter darkness. No, immediately we begin to think of our neighbors, we realize how we have ourselves failed to be light to them. But it's the Lord who says we are. It's the Lord who says we are. So let's remember that. Let's not coil away from that. We are different from the world, as light is from darkness. And then in the second place, the world is in terrible darkness. It does not realize it unless and until it sees us. The world is in terrible darkness. It does not realize it unless and until it sees us. And again, I'm just picking that from this very truth that the Lord Jesus says, we are light, and he sends us to shine in the world. But think about it, as we apply this. The world is in such darkness. Honestly, dear friends, what do we see nowadays? Whether it is so-called human rights, or please allow this, women rights, whether it is expressed in my dress, my choice, and you can multiply other things that now is being pushed onto our throats to swallow. You see a situation where the world is calling evil
good.
That which is evil, the world is calling good. And that which is good, the world is calling evil. That is how twisted the world has become. That is how dark the world is. No wonder the Lord is saying the world is terribly, or is in terrible darkness. It needs to see you. Or see us as Christians. My friends, I'm just describing what the Lord says, the terrible privilege that we are given. We are sent into a dark, confused world, and we are supposed to shine. It is confused. I've just given those few examples. See how standards have changed. See what things are being allowed to now go. I know it's a while since I last gave it. There were days, if I may say, in our days, a lot of TV movies, programs, would not be aired before 11 in the night. After 11, then basically they know those who are sensible enough have gone to bed. Those who leave or stay after 11, they can begin to watch that stuff. But what is the situation now? It is different. Even as we are talking now, as I'm preaching now, in homes, what is being relayed? Horrible things. Nudeness. Loose living. Cheating. That's what is being shown to us to entertain us, to make us sit back and laugh and copy. The world, my friend, is dark, terribly so. It needs us so that it can begin to say, yeah, we are wrong. We are wrong. Please don't belittle yourself as a believer. You know, again, I refer to Paul writing to the Ephesians. He tells them, the things they are doing, that's the people of the world, shameful. The things they do in secret, shameful. Sadly, we've reached a stage where it's not done in secret, of course. A lot goes on in secret. But now, it's all there. No, my friends, we should not be heathen. The world desperately stands in need of us. When it sees us, it'll know it is on the wrong. Let me hurry on then. So, a Christian is different from the world. We have seen that. Different from the world as night is from day. And the world is in terrible darkness. It does not realize its own wickedness. It needs to see us. And then in the third place, I just want to plead with us. Let's fulfill our purpose, surely. Let us fulfill our purpose. Let us be what God purposed us to be. To ooze out light. If you like, to reflect the light that comes from God, from Christ, and then to cast it into the world. Let us do that. Let's fulfill our purpose. Friends, then why did you become a Christian if you cannot reflect? I ask, why? It's not just fashion. There is work to be done. Something to be fulfilled. Let's carry out our purpose. Of course, I speak like that for my own good. But now I'm urging you also. Come on, let us know that we were saved for a purpose. Not just from hell. Not just waiting for heaven. There is work to be done. Work to be done. Let us be what God purposed us to be. And then in the final place, let me just say this. To you who are here, and you know you're not saved. Actually, you are religious. That's why you are here. But sadly, just being religious can be dangerous. And sadly, it has caused many people to think, but I'm safe, I'm among these God's people. When people stand to sing, I sing with at the top of my voice. In fact, I know those hymns. And so you may rationalize. But if you're not saved, I say this again in a very positive way. It is Christ alone who can move you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is Christ alone. Christ alone. Remember, he's the one who is speaking in this place. He calls those of us whom he has saved. You are the light of the world. And he so tells us that we therefore must live before you, that you may see therefore our light, our good works, and ultimately that you may glorify God. The Lord Jesus says, you look at us. Now that, again, that doesn't make us walk with a shoulder high. Because I know you look at some of us and you say, if that is Christianity, I don't want it. And that's terrible shame on us. Terrible shame on us. We should be those who you look at and say, oh God, I want to be like so and so. But anyway, the Lord himself says, you look at us. What do you see? Not our own goodness, not our own reflection, no. In fact, what you see is the Father's love cast upon his Son, who then came into the world. And his Son then casts this upon Christians. As weak as they are, as few as they are, as struggling as they are. That's what has happened. From the Father to the Son, and the Son says, now you have received it from me. Let it be seen by the world. And so what I'm urging you to do is to see the great love the Lord Jesus Christ has and has shown by casting it upon, and he has saved some of us. And he's saying, look at them, they're not perfect, but look at them. Bring glory to my Father. How do you bring glory to my Father in heaven? The Lord Jesus would be saying, turn from your sin. Cry out. And it's only me who can move you from that darkness into marvelous light. And so, my friends, I am saying to you, don't look at us and see our own good. Look at us and see what Christ has done and say, Christ, do for me what you've done for these people in this church, that I may also live for your own glory. We only reflect Christ, and we want you to turn to that Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, thank you for your word. You have challenged us. Staggering statements you have set before us, that we are salt of the earth because this earth is tasteless and rotting, that we are the light of the world. This world is full of darkness. What is wrong, it calls right. What is right, it calls wrong. It is so confused. And Lord, you want us to be light that the world will see. Yes, they'll persecute us. But if that comes, that will just cause us to be more and more strong in you. But Lord, if we live godly, if we let our light shine, they will see. They will bring glory to the Father. They'll put their trust in you. That's what we long for, oh God. Bring it to pass. Do it in our day. Do it here in this church. Those who have heard your word again and again and again, may they not just be used to it, but may they believe it. Oh God, have mercy, have mercy. And then those of us whom you have saved, sadly help us to move away from sitting back and not showing that you saved us for a purpose. Help us to shine. Hear our prayer. This we plead in Jesus' name. Amen. We do hope you have been blessed by the sermon you have heard. We want to encourage you to tune in to more of similar messages. We also want to encourage you, if you are able, come and join with us in our worship services at Grace Baptist Church, West Indies, Eldoret, just behind Cogo Flats. Thank you.